Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
0.9 yards per attempt. 160 yards. Last week versus the Browns, they rushed for 82 yards.
That's less.
This week versus the Panthers, 42 yards.
Wow.
They're going down by 50% each
half-life.
Time.
Half-life.
We're looking at 21 yards up in Buffalo this week.
Their rushing game has a damn half-life. They're going to rush for 19 yards.
Their rushing attack
Buffalo.
Is carbon dating.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
21
a nerdy
yards
assessment.
Versus, yeah. So, no, the trend has not been good. This is what I'm starting to worry about. Now, I worry about it with Philip Lindsay specifically. I was watching the linebackers for the Panthers last night, and man, on the Philip Lindsay run plays, they were downhill in a hurry. They were not one bit worried about play action. So I worry that they might have already developed some kind of a tendency or some kind of a tell on Philip. Now maybe the tell is with Philip Lindsay himself.
Yeah.
You know, it still happens in the NFL. You can sometimes catch a guy with what he's like. Most NFL backs are really smart about knowing that, like, okay, I'm not going to look to the left if I'm running left. I'm not going to look to the right if I'm running. They mix it up. They know that. But some guys still have tells when they break the huddle. When they're like receivers will be like that. Sometimes you can catch receivers that look a lot more engaged leaving the huddle if it's going to be a pass play than if it's going to be a run
that,
play.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Poker face.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. I didn't learn that one until late in my career.
Oh.
And there's some guys you're like, wow, this guy's got a pep in his step when it's a pass play, but he's downright moping leaving the huddle on a run play.
That feels like Randy Moss would have the worst tells of all time as
except
a wide
that,
receiver.
Except that Moss was pretty savvy, so for stuff like that, he might have known.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I want to like Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Let me love you, Philip Lindsay.
Right.
Can I get you up above 1.6 yards per attempt somehow? Examine yourself. Do you have some kind of a tell when you're leaving the huddle, cueing that it's a run play that maybe Mark Ingram isn't giving off?
Here is David Culley about the defensive side of the ball for the Texans last night.
Well, the big plays. We've got to eliminate the big plays. We've had some third and longs, again, that we felt like that we would get them off the field. We weren't able to get them off the field, and that's just something we got to just look at and make sure we do, because that's kind of happened to us before, and we just got to look at it and just make sure that we do what we need to do to be able to get out of those situations. That's where we want them in. We want them in third and long, and we feel good about when they're in third and long about getting off the field, and we weren't able to do that tonight.
Yeah, it felt like they got them into situations, Seth, where you go, man, just make a play here and get your offense back on the field, and this is a winnable game, especially with no Christian McCaffrey in this game. And credit Sam Darnold. He converted a lot of third and longs in this game to keep the Panthers on the field.
He converted a lot of third and longs. I thought the pass rush improved. And I think putting speed on the field, putting Grenard and Jacob Martin out there more, made a difference. The part where I think they did a really good job and where it just they got a little bit unlucky was that they got the ball out on these sacks. They had two strip sacks. They just didn't come up with
it.
Recovery. Yeah, I mean, like some of that's just luck of the draw sometimes.
Yep.
But I thought that they did. They also, I thought, forced Darnold into some tough positions. I think some of his really good throws were also high-risk throws.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry more than anything about the fact that I couldn't gloat over Sam Darnold still sucking after the end of the game.
You were pretty adamant yesterday.
When McCaffrey first went out, it looked like, yep, here we go. Here he is without Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
But lo and behold, by the second half, he did a good job carving up an inadequate zone defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give him that. Let's see how you do versus the good defenses.
All right, we'll talk a lot more Texans as we roll on here on the show this morning. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's continue with some headlines here. Hey, the Astros played last night, Seth. And I'm going to tell you right now, I did not watch 1 minute of it because
I
was doing a post-game show.
You're trying to focus on the game.
That's it, man. That's it. The Astros lose last night, so they're not able to complete the sweep against the Los Angeles Angels. 3-2, they lose last night. I say this, Seth, and I will admit to the audience, I don't want to be disingenuous. This is total box score analysis for me. So I have no idea if Lance McCullers' 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 walk, 5 strikeout performance is one whose box score makes me a little nervous, or if the fact that he only gave up 2 hits, if those are some lucky hits. But the 4 walks, and when I look at Lance McCullers, the 4 walks is still what concerns me about Lance McCullers. He's going to be your number one starter going into the postseason. He started last night, lost the game last night, falls to 12-5 on the season.
Yeah.
He's going to be your game one starter when you face the White Sox in the ALDS to start things off. You know, the numbers like that are just, they're not Verlander and Cole. And you've had Verlander and Cole starting off series the last couple of years. That makes me a little bit, oh, did Jason Castro hit a home run last night? I do believe he did, as a pinch hitter nonetheless.
No, and honestly, as I was trying to, because I had to rewatch the game immediately afterwards too, so I'm kind of looking up at the Astros game, trying to pay attention at various points last night during the game and afterwards. And Brian McTaggart confirms what I thought I had lip read and seen, was that Lance McCullers had a little bit of bad luck with the umpire last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we had 2 poorly officiated games.
3-2 slider to Ohtani in the 6th inning that was called a ball when it appeared to be in the zone. And then Ohtani stole 2nd base. They challenged it. They thought Correa had tagged them out, and it was not overturned. So there was in that Ohtani basically getting the face of baseball treatment last night is what it was.
Oh, he was getting, yeah. Soon to be MVP treatment.
Who was it? Was it Stephen A. Smith that said he couldn't be the face of baseball because he doesn't speak English?
Yes, I believe it was. I believe it was.
By the looks of that fella, I don't think, yeah.
He can be the face of baseball. Yeah. All right, so the Astros lose. So now we're down to
the dude that plays both ways. The guy that's the best at playing baseball in over a century.
Who, by the way, is probably a global star because he's not American.
Yeah.
You know, he can expand the game a little bit. Yeah, that doesn't really compute to me. You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. You can take the music down, Bobby. Yep. All right. A lot of texts coming in on the Texans game last night. You've touched a nerve with Philip Lindsay.
What did I do?
Philip Lindsay. Well, there's just not touched a nerve. There's a lot of people that agree.
Oh, they agree with me.
It's
okay,
hard to stick up for Philip Lindsay on the heels of 7 carries for 5 yards.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you're Philip Lindsay's boy from college or something, you're listening and being like, yeah, I know. I gotta figure something out here.
Yeah,
you can blame the offensive line, I guess, is what you would do.
But to me, a certain threshold for blaming the offensive line.
And that's
line.
Where you always have to say, because people have asked that question, and understandably so, hey, you know, is Philip Lindsay averaging 1.6 yards per attempt because of the offensive line? Partially, but when somebody is the absolute worst in football at something, you can never blame the supporting cast for being the worst at football.
Yeah.
You know, like there's other people out there that have bad offensive lines who aren't averaging 1.6 yards per attempt.
That's right.
And I think Philip Lindsay is not equipped the way Mark Ingram is to deal with bad blocking.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to break tackles. You know, it's a bad fit for Philip Lindsay. If he's got blocking in front of him, he gets a head of steam. He's a kamikaze. He's a rolling ball of butcher knives. He'll go through and he'll do some damage. He might take out one of your own guys while he's doing it, but it's just, man, it's not pretty. And Scottie Phillips needs to be in there instead of him.
No doubt. And that's what's frustrating is that Scottie Phillips was actually activated last night.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if Scottie Phillips isn't activated for the game and you go, okay, well, they couldn't put him in last night, but now they've got 10 days to figure this thing out before they play Buffalo. I'm with you, Seth. Like, that he's not getting touches in a game like that where you're clearly getting nothing going in the run game is, to me, it's inexcusable that Scottie Phillips isn't getting, I mean, unless Scottie Phillips is banged up in some way and, you know, but then at that point you would think he'd be inactive. And how do you get banged up if you haven't been in a game yet? I don't know, in practice maybe. Philip, this is a text. Philip Lindsay has zero vision. That said, would you, or maybe it says he said. I think that feels like a voice to text where they said, hey, Seth, would you pick up the 5th-year option on either Howard or Sharping? Tytus Howard or Max Sharping? All right, let's be clear about one thing. The 5th-year option is only with first-round picks. So you've got to be a first-round draft choice to be eligible for a 5th-year option with the team. So Max Sharping and Tytus Howard were both drafted in 2019. Max Sharping's contract year is next year. I think it's too early. It's probably too early to have a solid take on what to do with either of these guys long-term. My guess is, if I had to guess, Seth, my guess is Tytus Howard grows into being the starting left guard for this team.
Yeah.
He's very talented. and that they exercise the fifth-year option on him this offseason. Sharping, I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to do with Max Sharping.
But yeah.
That's what I think happens with Titus Howard.
Yeah.
I'm confident he'll grow into his left guard.
And that'll work. And, you know, maybe at some point they just move back out to right tackle or if it doesn't work out. I think it's enough. He showed enough at right tackle in his first couple years that I think he still definitely can be a good right tackle in the league, which is why it's frustrating to watch him struggle so when you feel like, oh, okay. And he'd probably he's going to be better at zone run blocking than Marcus Cannon at this point. But they believe in it, and we'll see. That's it's the one benefit of having a lost season, I suppose, is that you get to do experiments like this.
Yep, absolutely. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in phones or on the text page. Let's drop a phone call in here and talk to Trent. Trent, you are up on Payne and Pendergast. What's going on?
Yeah, I was at the game last night. I feel like at the start of the game, I can understand trying to protect Davis Mills, but I feel like throughout the entirety of the game, that's what they were prioritizing. And I thought, and you know, in that 2-minute drill at the end of the first half, I mean, Davis Mills looked like he had something. They just didn't fully let him throw the ball. And I mean, we got to the point where we couldn't run the ball, and then we were just running against a brick wall. But I feel like we haven't seen fully, I mean, what Davis Mills could do yet, just because I feel like they're still trying to protect him.
Yeah, and I guess let me ask you, were you okay with that, or were you frustrated they didn't come out of the gates more aggressive?
Yeah, I could understand. I was okay with that at the beginning of the game, but then mm-hmm. when it got to the point where we obviously weren't going to be able to run the ball, I'm like, well, I mean, if we really want to try to win this game, we got to, you know, let him throw the ball and see what he can do. But I guess.
No, that's where I think it's kind of a microcosm of how the Texans are with this season. I feel like with every strategy and every approach to everything, they're trying to balance the short term with the long term. And maybe they should have gotten more aggressive earlier in that game instead of waiting until the 2-minute drill to see that, oh, wow, the kid can actually throw some and he's going to be all right. Except in the back of their minds, actually probably in the forefront of their minds, they're thinking, look, we've got a young quarterback here. We don't want to ruin him. We got to have him to have some semblance of success. And at the very least, like, you know, first do no harm. You'd be like a doctor. First do no harm and then try to fix him. I think that's what they were trying to do. I'm okay with it, especially because it was a Thursday night game. And I mean, you got to remember, everybody in your mind, close your eyes and think back to Davis Mills not being able to hand the ball off in an NFL football game. Like, simple little things that weren't getting done when he was pressed into action. Think about immediately after that game.
5 days ago.
Okay, we got 5 days to prepare for... Oh, excuse me. What did Tuesday, Wednesday? 4 days. We got 4 days to prepare for a football game with a rookie quarterback. And by the way, a couple of your best skill position players are out, too. So we're going to have to roll in a guy that's just coming back from a shoulder injury, and Anthony Miller, who's new to the team. We're going to have a special teams guy be one of your other receivers, and you're not going to be able to run the ball. We got to get to the train on time. You know, I saw a lot of people complaining about a lack of creativity. If you wanted that thing to fall apart immediately and blow up in your face,
get cute.
Go ahead and try to work in 10 trick plays in 4 days of preparation. I mean, the old annoying saying, it is what it is. Last night was what it was when it came to actual game preparation. So now the question becomes, I'll cut them that break. I'll gladly cut Tim Kelly that break. He was really working with a lot of constraints and getting that young quarterback ready to play. Now you got 10 days. Now you got a mini bye week, you know? And I think Davis Mills did show that he could do some things. This is where it gets interesting. Because you're going up to Buffalo. I think it'll probably be beautiful football weather. I looked at the forecast. I think it's like 66 and sunny next weekend. That changes over time, obviously, but still, it's not
early October.
It's not
going to
be Buffalo in December, you know.
No,
it'll be a nice autumn day, and it's going to be a hostile environment. The Bills Mafia will be out there breaking coffee tables, or not coffee tables,
card tables.
Card tables, yeah. Excuse me, coffee table. Now listen, Bills Mafia, if you're listening,
step your game up.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
The card table thing is so played.
Yeah, it is.
Now, how about a coffee table? How about a nice marble top coffee table?
I was just going to say marble. Let's see. Hey, but you get the right one, they might try it. You never know. A flaming marble coffee table.
Sean, do you know why Bills Mafia exists? This I'm going to tell you. This explains everything. I was in an airport in Buffalo in this summer, and I'm taking a whiz. I'm only human. People, I gotta vacate.
Anxious
my
to see where this story is going.
I'm in the bathroom. I'm listening to the music coming through the speakers in the bathroom. I'm like, is that 1980s death metal band Wizard?
Hold on. This is in the airport.
In the airport. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Wizard. And so I went out and I'm listening to the song, and it's Future Nights.
You gotta find this during the break and bump back with it.
Or
just let Seth sing.
So I go out and I start searching on YouTube and everything, and I'm like, yeah, they were playing hardcore 80s death metal in the airport. And it was out in the gate area.
Out in
too.
The foyer out there.
And I thought, somebody just must have been playing a joke or something. I came back 45 minutes later. It was still playing.
It was a playlist.
That is Western New York in a nutshell right there.
And I mean, if we're setting some of these Bill's Mafia videos on Twitter to music, death metal.
Wow. Which, by the way, Wizard out of San Antonio. I didn't even know that.
No kidding.
Yeah, Wizard with a Y, kids.
Wow.
If you want to understand why your parents are the way they are, just go look up some heavy metal from the 70s and 80s. But anyway... It's going to be a rough environment, a really good defense, but Davis Mills has shown a capability, I think, above and beyond what most of us expected for this game. You know, like I was teasing and tantalizing myself that, okay, you know, over the course of time, he'll maybe figure a few things out. It might get ugly. He showed an ability to break tackles and an ability to maneuver within the pocket and to move outside the pocket. It comes down to more than just, you know, being athletic enough. We know he's athletic enough. But it takes a certain savvy. And this is a guy that got hit blindside from the front side. Like, if he got hit, he's right-handed. Your blind side is your left side. He's right-handed. He was standing there last week and got crushed on his strong hand side, like, without ever seeing that it was coming. So just showing that maneuverability and awareness in the pocket was big. I think one of the other things he did well was he got rid of the football on time a lot.
Yeah.
If you think about young Deshaun Watson, It was like a 3-year process of Deshaun learning when not to extend the play,
mm-hmm.
and that he would turn down the easy throws, which you're okay with. Like, settle the hell down, everybody else. I'm not saying that Davis Mills is Deshaun Watson, but at least that one part of the game, when you don't have the ability to extend the play like to the same degree that Deshaun Watson is, you learn faster. Like, oh, I got to get the hell rid of the ball. I got to get there. I'm not Deshaun Watson. And sometimes that can actually help a quarterback like Davis advance further, just because he doesn't have the ability to get out of pickles as well.
You seem enthusiastic about Davis Mills.
I am, like, with a tempered enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't mean like over the top, like you're a family member or something like that. I think your enthusiasm mirrors mine and is reasonable, I think.
Yeah. It's like you find a girlfriend that's really good at some things that aren't the best things, but there's some things.
I knew that. I knew you would have an analogy for this.
Boy, I wish I could say what I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, say it off the air. Save it. All right. 713-572-4680. Great text from a listener I want to get to. 5 Texans who are just taking up space right now. That's next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Darnold looks it over, puts the leg down. Here's the snap from Paradis. And Darnold's going to be flattened, just sandwiched as Whitney gets there. A Menahu in the area, Rock Boys celebration. And the Texans get their second sack of the game. It's 4th and long.
All right, that was Whitney Merciless on a 3rd and 2. That was old school Whitney dialing it up. Dialing it up, man. Coming off the edge. 3rd and 2, 3rd and short. And he gets the Panthers into 4th and 9, gets off the field. Now, I play as we welcome you back in on a Football Friday. We're reacting to the Texans' 24-9 loss to the Carolina Panthers last night at NRG Stadium. I'm playing that Whitney Merciless highlight as a lead-in to a text that is not the most complimentary about Whitney among others on the Houston Texans. And we got a text message. You can text the show 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the show. There, I think 3 games into the season, there's a set of Houston Texans that Texan fans are enthusiastic and excited about. There are Texans that the fan base is going, okay, we need something else in here. We need a different solution. text message, five roster spots that are just taking up space right now in the Houston Texans.
Did he give them?
I have not given – are you ready?
Did the texter ask or did they give
– No, they listed them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Five.
I'll say yay or nay on this.
Okay. We just played Whitney Mercilus bumping into this segment, sacking the quarterback last night.
Yeah.
Is Whitney Mercilus just taking up space on this roster right now?
If you've got to focus on the future, yes. I think Whitney, compared to what he was 3 weeks ago, or 3 years ago, he's certainly not the same guy. The thing is, last night, he was kind of putting it on that dude. That right tackle a few times. I got to go back and watch him specifically in last night's game. I think that you very much saw that the future is Jonathan Greenard and Jacob Martin and maybe an undersized, speedier defensive line. So is he soaking up a roster spot, especially at his salary? Yeah, but I'm not that worked up about it like I might have been in other circumstances. I mean, the fact that O'Brien gave him that contract is the really big issue.
That's not his fault.
And now you're sitting there with that contract. So with that contract, yeah, he's soaking up a roster spot.
Okay.
If you were making a reasonable, like, hey, this is one of the guys you signed on a 1 year deal,
yeah,
I'd say, like, all right, you know what? He's not the perfect solution, but he's a bigger guy. And I think, frankly, that's he's a bigger guy. He's a bigger guy than he used to be.
He is.
He's just a
Papa
bigger
John's,
guy.
You know, he's doing these pizza commercials. He gets free pizza, probably.
I saw Keith last night, and I didn't say hi to him. Damn it.
He was in the suite.
I know.
Yeah.
That's where I saw him.
Yeah. I saw him there, too. We don't need to go too deep on this one. Deshaun Watson is just taking up space on the roster right now. This requires longer than we have in this segment.
Ed Werder tweeted out last night, Ed Werder of ESPN, tweeted out that he talked to somebody on the Texans organization who said that Deshaun was like a ghost in the building, that you kind of forget that he's there.
Okay.
Now,
there's more people talking about ghosts again.
Well, that's where it gets interesting, because I think a lot of people were calling BS on it. I don't call BS on that, but I do think that I think a lot of people see that he's talking to a person in the organization and they assume he's talking about a player or something.
Yep.
Where that might be an executive or somebody like that, and it also might be an executive that's maybe trying to spin it into a certain way.
Could be.
There is an element. I think there's an element to this situation that has become more normalized here than people outside the town would realize. Like, I think a lot of people, they check in on the Deshaun Watson situation when there's a national game or something. But yeah, he's a dead spot on the roster. For
three
sure.
more. Let's just spend a minute or so on each of these guys. Three more guys just taking up space on the roster.
Okay.
We'll continue to treat Philip Lindsay like a pinata this morning, but Philip Lindsay is brought up by the text.
Yeah, there's no need at all. I can go out. I personally can go out and get 1.6 yards per carry.
Hell yeah, you could.
I could break some of those tackles at the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I could take the hand off.
Right.
I sleep on my arm. It falls asleep. Yeah, everything. Yeah, and yeah. I got no feeling in my fingers.
Philip Lindsay stinks right now. I mean, there's just no two ways about it.
He's
not
the
good.
In terms of yards per carry, he's third worst in the NFL. One of the guys in front of him is a quarterback, and one is Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake's 13 attempts for 20 yards, where Philip Lindsay looks at that and he's like, chump, I got 20 carries for 32 yards. Philip Lindsay has carried the ball 20 times for 32 yards.
Yeah, oh yeah. Compared to Kenyon Drake, he's LaDainian Tomlinson.
By the end of the year, he might have run a full 100-meter sprint.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Slowest 100-meter sprint ever.
Andre Roberts taking up space on the roster.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, in garbage time, maybe some of you guys weren't paying attention. Excuse me, you returned a ball out to the 39 in garbage time?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Case closed. Yeah, taking up a space as far. This is the big tragedy with Andre Roberts, is that this is one of those dependable, tough, smart guys you signed to come in and show the young guys how it's done. I would have forgiven the muffed punt last week. It's that it seems like he's trying to make up for that muffed punt every single time now. He's like trying to be a hero. Like there's no fair. Like he's playing in the old Canadian league where there's no fair catch or something.
Yeah.
Knock it off, dude. Returning it out of the end zone.
If I'm an opposing kicker, I don't know why opposing kickers kick it out through the back of the end zone against Andre Roberts.
Yeah.
Kick it down to about the goal line or 2 yards deep in the end zone. He's bringing it out, and he's going to get tackled at the 16.
So I think a lot of people would say, okay, well, this is Erickson. This Erickson kid. Let's give him a shot at it. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's on Carolina now. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Erickson kid. Last one. Five guys taking up space on the roster. We've gotten a lot of these this morning, Seth. Why is Rex Burkhead on this team right now?
Hey, excuse me. One carry last night. Did he not have a carry?
He had a catch.
Catch,
I know
catch.
That.
That's right.
Yeah,
he had a catch. This is special teams, I guess.
Is he even out there in special teams?
He's not showing up. You remember when Alfred Blue was, you had to keep him because of special teams, and he'd have zero special teams tackles.
Are you going to make me have to watch special teams on Game Pass?
He's like an old Alfred Blue, Sean.
Oh, God.
Remember? Well, you know, he's really good on special teams. He is? Like, where? Why? Is he a decoy on special teams?
Yeah.
What's going on?
He doesn't make any tackles. What is he so good at on special teams? Oh.
Now, but the biggest difference is, you always do a good job of reminding me this. It's like, okay, yeah, but O'Brien would have given Burkhead a three-year
yeah.
A three-year $9 million deal or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, okay, you gave him a one-year kind of a look-see tryout. I think they would have replaced Burkhead at some point if they found somebody that they thought was a better option, perhaps. I don't know.
Scotty Phillips. Honestly, for what Burkhead's role is, David Johnson is a better option right now. You know what I mean? Like, Burkhead is only out there to catch the occasional ball out of the backfield. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I largely agree with this texter, five guys just taking up space on the roster. We're 3 weeks into the season. I think that'll be interesting, Seth, is at what point in the season does Andre Roberts become Desmond King? Does Philip Lindsay become Scotty Phillips?
Mm-hmm.
Does Rex Burkhead become Scotty Phillips or David Johnson? You know what I mean? Like, at what point? Because David Culley said in the postgame last night, he was asked about Andre Roberts, and he said, no, he's a veteran guy. You know, it's just guys are going to have bad games. We trust Andre Roberts. So, according to the head coach, we're not anywhere close to Andre Roberts being replaced. And I don't want to get too worked up about the kick returner on this team, except for the fact that the dude's fumbling punts early in games against the Cleveland Browns. That'll be really interesting to me. At what point do they start to make moves where these veteran guys who they brought in are just, they're not trustworthy anymore? Or yeah. You got to start looking at other guys because it's with an eye on the future.
Rex Burkhead so far has 28 snaps on special teams.
Okay.
So,
how many tackles does he have?
According to Pro Football Focus, that would be zero.
Zero tackles, okay.
Zero assists.
Okay.
Zero missed tackles. You can't miss the tackle you don't take or something. That's Wayne Gretzky said that. You never miss a tackle you don't attempt.
That was Wayne Gretzky.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Michael Scott.
You never miss the tackle you don't attempt.
You don't try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Burkhead's just running down and staying in his lane. He comes back, didn't miss a tackle.
That used to be the old Barry Sanders approach. It's like you try to, well, not, the Barry Sanders approach was take your shot and hope that you miss badly enough that you're not in the picture frame.
That's funny. You
got to take your shot. That's actually, I remember Dick Chiron telling us, I think I was a rookie or it must have been a rookie we were playing against the Lions. And that was like the strategy versus Barry Sanders. Like, listen, don't worry. We're not gonna grade you down for missing tackles. Take your shot. You got to get eight people there and everybody take a shot.
What did the Carolina Panthers think of Davis Mills last night? And we have Lisa Ann joining us at 8:45 to get you up to speed on your fantasy lineups for this weekend as well. If you want to start texting in to 713-572-4610, if you've got fantasy questions for Lisa Ann, we always mix in a few of those rapid fire style. So we'll do all that next. Nice long segment coming up for you here on Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Lisa Ann is going to join us shortly here on Sports Radio 610 to give you some fantasy football advice. Seth, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be totally transparent with the audience. I was up late last night doing the post-game show till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I slept up here at the studio. I had a chance to put exactly zero things in the rundown.
You're running on whiskey and cocaine right now.
You did a tremendous job of putting topics into the rundown, which we've been able to cherry-pick. Full transparency, I completely forgot what I teased into this segment. 100% forgot.
Let me look at the text line. Maybe somebody answered a question that you asked. Somebody said, whose jersey do you buy?
No, it wasn't anything like that.
That's probably based on, we were talking about who's
like
the... Oh, you know what? who was the halftime show? It wasn't...
Run DMC was
Was it Run there. DMC yeah. or was it just... Is it Rev Run or what? Was it the whole band?
I don't know.
Who was the DJ? Yeah. The DJ was wearing a number 10 jersey. but it was
Do we know what name was on the back?
I couldn't hear anything, so I couldn't really see what... But it didn't say DeAndre Hopkins. but it was a number 10 jersey.
Yeah.
So it, from a distance, I saw, I was doing a bunch of other stuff, and I just saw that the DJ was wearing number 10.
Do you think when Davis Mills looks up into the crowd, he chooses to believe that all those number 10 jerseys are Davis Mills jerseys, and he just doesn't want to look at the back of them? Like, he looks up there, and he just tries to pretend that these are all people that are supporting Davis Mills, and these aren't all people that are still wearing DeAndre Hopkins jerseys to Texans games?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would delude myself into thinking that. All right, so if you if you're interested in what I tease, and you can remind me, I get a mulligan because this is my 13th hour of radio in the last 24 hours. So I get a mulligan. You know what? Let's we've got people holding. Let's go to the phones and we'll try to remember. Let's go to John. John, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Seth, to borrow your statement, let me love you, David Johnson. Let me love you. Looks like Hercules plays like Jane. Traded him off for Hopkins. This is supposed to be his year to show everybody that it was a good trade. It looks like he's not even the first option, man. I mean, is it because his body is so broken up now and the coaching staff know that he just will not do anything? Come on, man. What about trash this guy, man? Y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks, John. I think he was talking about David Johnson there, right?
He was, yeah. He said, yeah. David Johnson. Yeah. Hercules.
Looks like Hercules plays like Jane. See,
it actually was a lot like the movie, like, Hercules, and that little tubby whatever was no Hercules.
A lot of you haven't seen the sequel to Tarzan.
Yeah.
When Hercules comes in and Jane has an affair with Hercules. So he said, looked like Hercules plays like Jane.
Oh, yeah, the old saying is, looks like Tarzan Jane. Yeah.
Yeah, in the sequel, Hercules comes in and ruins their home and is actually gets with Jane. So, John, we appreciate the phone call. Let's get
the weakest Greek goddess was Sai Baba. So it looks like Hercules plays like Sai Baba.
Okay, there you go. Yep. There you go. Tanner's up on Payne and Pendergast. What's going on, Tanner?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday. Just a few comments on the defense. I'm really excited about it this year, just in comparison to last year. There's a lot more effort. I know Merciless isn't going to be a part of this team going forward, but just to see him make any play at all is good.
Yeah.
We saw our ability to intercept the football the first two games. I know we had more lax coverage last night, but the forced fumbles. And this is coming from someone who's never actually played football, just been a fan of it. I'm only to have a slight concern with a team that's had a history of lazy/poor tackling at times. Is it bad to teach some of these young guys that are going to be part of this team to be able to?
You're talking about like they're going after the ball too much instead of the tackle?
Yeah, like is it going to affect their tackling form as a football player going forward just because they're so focused on swatting at the football when they see someone with it?
No, that's
thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you know what? Another listener brought this up during the break. As I steadily get encouraged by some things, but then I get frustrated when I start thinking about some of the things that the defense did last night. You know, in that bend but don't break philosophy, which was very bendy and kind of breaky last night.
Yep.
Not awful breaky. You know,
like breaky at the end.
If Sam Darnold's supposed to be all that and everything, okay, you can score more than 24 points versus one of the supposedly worst teams in the league. But anyway, it was a bend but don't break philosophy. They were missing two starters in the secondary.
Yep.
So, I'm not going to make excuses. Lots of teams. The Panthers lost their first round cornerback last night. They lost Christian McCaffrey last night. You gotta make do. But when it comes to the tackling part, the whole thing is when done properly, you're securing the tackle as you also go for the ball. Like Eric Murray last week versus the Browns made the cardinal sin of just going and trying to poke at the ball without securing the tackle simultaneously. That's the stuff you can't be coaching. That's the stuff that you don't want young guys seeing. I'm okay with it. Like in the backfield, the way those two strip sacks went, those guys were in position to hit the quarterback. And it's easier with the quarterback. Remember, you can get the quarterback on the turf without having the perfect form tackle. The big thing there is it's the easiest spot on the field to get a turnover by far. The sack is the easiest place on the field to get a turnover. It's just getting there that's hard. So those guys did it perfectly. They swatted it out with good hand-eye coordination. So that part I'm okay with. I don't recall really many instances in these first few weeks where defensive backs took too much of a gamble going for the interception.
I don't either.
You know, that's
Well, Vernon Hargraves had one last night where he undercut a route, dove, was able to actually get a hand on the ball.
Yeah.
But I forget who the receiver was, still caught it and was able to
that
turn
was,
upfield.
Was that when Darnold was rolling out to
yes.
his right?
Yes.
And that was on
yes.
a key drive. Yeah, yes. That was a nice throw by Darnold.
Was, yeah.
That
he,
was the throw that broke me.
Yeah.
That was where
yeah,
I'm like,
you
man.
Did. You texted me some choice words after
that throw. Yeah. Because look. One thing the Texans could have done last night is they could have juiced the trade market for Deshaun Watson.
They could have.
Their fate was in their hands.
Yep.
They could have said that they could have made the Panthers realize, oh boy, we really need to think about trading for Deshaun.
Shout out to our listeners, several of whom said, Sean, here's what you teased into the segment.
I
outlined, I'm operating on very little sleep because I did post game last night. I teased, what do the Carolina players think of Davis Mills after last night? Here was Hassan Reddick. He was all over the place last night in an exchange with our Adam Spillane at his press conference on Davis Mills.
What do you think of Davis Mills?
Very tough, man. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He escaped my grip, a couple times today. And it was shocking to see, even with the one hit, just the way he got back up, man. The guy, he's tough. He's mentally and physically tough.
Most rookies, when they're in that spot, would you almost expect them not to fold, but maybe to show something?
Most definitely, and he got right back up off the ground, and continued to play. So, they and Davis Mills, they definitely have a tough player.
Hassan Reddick, an expert in tough. You know how I know why? He's from Camden, New Jersey.
I was just about to say, where is he from? He's got a unique accent.
Camden, New Jersey, which I believe at times has been the number one crime city in the United States.
And he went to Rutgers. Because he said tough guy.
He went to Temple.
He went to Temple.
He's a Matt Rule guy.
He said he was a tough guy, and I had Hercules on my mind, so I was thinking that I thought he said tough guy.
Yeah, Camden is basically it's Southern Jersey, so it's attached to Philly more than it is New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a tough town. If anybody knows it can be an expert in toughness, it's somebody from Camden, New Jersey.
So I think that was of the pleasant surprises with Davis Mills last night. Don't worry, everybody. I'll figure out a way to talk myself into being negative by the end of the sentence. But the positives, one, as Hassan Reddick was saying, I love the way he said he escaped my grip a couple times. An enemy of Thor
right.
or something. Like, you've escaped my grip now, Thor, but yeah. I'll get you.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that his strength and his mobility in the pocket, his ability to maneuver around the pocket, to step up in the pocket, but then also to break tackles when it came time to run. We know that he's athletic, but I think he's also strong. And then at other times, getting rid of the ball quickly. Getting rid of the ball quickly, and then also going through his progressions. One of the knocks on Davis Mills was that he's a first-read guy. If he doesn't have his first read, he's done. That touchdown pass, that was his second read in the progression. It's not the hardest thing. It's not rocket science or anything, but he's showing evidence and signs of some of these next level things, not this pure buck rookie thing.
He was in his fourth quarter of NFL football.
Yeah.
These are the things that you take away from that. All right, joining us right now, as she does each and every week, and she's brought to you by Cindy's. Cindy's is number one for fantasy and fun, is our fantasy expert, getting you ready for week 3, Lisa Ann. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I really loved the touch-in about Camden, New Jersey. I want to tell you an interesting fun fact. When I was growing up, the drinking age was still 18 in New Jersey. So anyone from Philly or Pennsylvania would drive across the bridge. So this is where Camden became a little bit rougher because everybody would go over to get in trouble. It didn't get raised to 21 till 1984.
Oh, wow.
That is a fun fact. Yeah, and with, did I... Did I sell Camden the right? I mean,
you
Camden's
sure
a rough
did.
Spot, right?
I started Googling facts immediately because I remember my young years of rebellion, spending a lot of time in Camden.
That was what Louisiana was like, too.
Yes.
Louisiana
yes.
was a holdout forever. They stayed 18.
Yes.
Then finally, after a while, the roads got bad. You know what the government did, Lisa Ann? They basically held everybody hostage by saying, we're not going to give you federal highway funds
sure.
unless you raise the age of 21. And Louisianans were like, ah, what's a pothole when I'm drunk?
It's okay. It's, I don't mind the potholes too much. You know, it's a, yeah. Yeah, Louisiana is basically Camden with a Cajun accent.
I find a drive-up daiquiri bar.
That's right. That's
allows
right.
me to withstand the potholes a little
like
bit better.
This is like a roller coaster is all it is. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit. All right, so Lisa, Seth and I were at the game last night where probably the most, what will wind up being the most significant injury this weekend in all likelihood, this Christian McCaffrey injury. Boy, especially if you're in a dynasty league where you've had Christian McCaffrey 2 years in a row, how nervous should McCaffrey owners be right now?
Pretty nervous. I mean, luckily they do get a little bit of an extended break before they show up to play again. But, you know, it's interesting with this injury because there was just this great special about Christian McCaffrey that I had watched, and I couldn't even think about fantasy football. I felt so bad for him because this is a setback. We know hamstrings. We know this is an issue. We know he's a strong player. And when he got out of that tent and walked back to the locker room, it was just soul crushing. So I think now's the time to really start looking at trades, because the strength that you were relying on a running back like Christian McCaffrey is never going to be found on the waiver wire. Go through your league mates, see who may be rich in one department. Maybe there was a quarterback injury and you have a backup. But this is definitely a trade time versus a waiver wire time, and it's something to prepare for now so you're not in a panic situation 10 days from now.
Lisa Ann, a guy I follow on Twitter, Rivers McCown, last night tweeted out that the Texans are basically a Brandon Cooks PPR scam. That they're running some kind of scheme where they're just trying to give Brandon Cooks as many touches as possible. Nine last night, a ton on the season. Is this sustainable?
A ton on the season. He's got 322 yards already in three games. It's unbelievable. And he went just left in draft boards till late. This could be sustainable. I mean, it's also great to see a player like Brandon Cooks, who's not new to the league, but shows us that he's not reliant on a quarterback. He's reliant on himself. He's a playmaker. He's a good communicator. His focus is unbelievable. He should be getting so much more credit than he is. I think he's going to sustain it, and I think at the end of the season, everybody's going to look at him totally differently. The question is, will he stay in Houston another season for you?
Yeah, we'll see. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit, getting you ready for fantasy football in week three. Justin Fields getting ready to get his first start. Where is Justin Fields on your fantasy quarterback rankings this weekend?
I'd feel a lot better about Justin Fields if he wasn't chosen over Andy Dalton in the first place, right? When you're choosing Andy Dalton, then I'm worried about his timing, his footwork. There's something not right that we're now going to see. And if you're stuck in a situation, maybe you had both in case this did happen, you're going to play him, right? But I like to wait and see. I want to see one or two games. I want to see how comfortable he is, what receivers he's using, what their play action looks like, and if he can handle the NFL stage.
So, Lisa Ann, Rondale Moore has been nothing short of a revelation in Arizona, and it has a lot of people kind of politely trying to say, well, yeah, Larry Fitzgerald's been washed for a little while now, but they don't want to say it, but it's kind of true. Is this going to last? Like, I feel completely different about Kyler Murray. I feel completely different about Cliff Kingsbury, and I feel like Rondale Moore's got a lot to do with it.
Man, I bet you Kingsbury would be happy to hear that, because I think everybody was talking about his job on the line before the season, right? And that's not the case. And Kyler Murray was, so to me, the quarterback I sought after the most. I do think this is sustainable. I also think Fitz got work and was there. That veteran leadership is always great. But are we seeing that maybe he was a bit in the way and wasn't allowing growth for other players? I think Moore, who I have, of course, no shares of, which is devastating, is going to continue to do this. And what D-Hop can do, I see the questionable tag, but we know he'll play. I'm sad for you guys, because I know each time you watch him make one of those catches that you're not even sure till you watch the replay it was an actual catch, you miss him.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, he would even make a few that wouldn't count. It's, you know, like, yes, he toe tap, but he barely, you know, kissed the sideline there. But he, you know, even normal receivers couldn't even do that. Yes, well, we miss him, Lisa, is the bottom line.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. No, yeah. Lisa, okay, let me get nostalgic here for a bit. I've never seen a player so many times, like, in when you're watching in person, where you think, Well, no, there's definitely no way that was a catch. Like, it's almost in your mind. Because he wouldn't, it wouldn't just be toe-tapping. He's running full speed at the sideline. Like, he's not slowing down to
do it.
So, yeah, so now I'm sad. Thanks a lot.
It's amazing. But, you know, there's another player that does the same. It's Tyler Lockett. Like, the way he can move his body and his head's over the line, but his toes and feet are still completely where they need to be is fascinating.
Yep. Lisa Ann joining us for a weekly visit. All right, Lisa, they're flying in here on the text page right now. So let's give some advice out to people. We just talked about Justin Fields. Justin Fields this weekend or Dak Prescott against the Eagles?
I know that the Eagles have a tough defense, but stop doubting Dak, everybody. He's looking darn good, and you got to play Dak Prescott Monday night and enjoy that.
Hollywood Brown or Miles Sanders for the flex spot on somebody's team?
Blah on both, but I don't want to go Miles Sanders. I think the Cowboys defense is going to be prepared, so Hollywood Brown is my choice.
We just talked about Rondale Moore, the rookie wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, coming off a huge week last week. Amari Cooper, boy, who, can you imagine thinking about saying this before the season? Amari Cooper or Rondale Moore for a flex spot?
I think the matchup is better for Rondale Moore. Amari Cooper still coming back from being a little bit banged up concerns me, so I'm going to put Moore in there unless we hear flying reviews today about what Amari Cooper looked like at practice.
Dak Prescott or Derek Carr at quarterback. Boy, Derek Carr's been something else so far this year.
And still gets no love. Like, I don't know what it is. So has Ruggs. Like, it's been great to see them connect, but I'm still going to go Dak. And remember, sometimes it's great to have a player going on the Monday night. Many times you could be down by two or three in your matchup, which would have been the same if you played a Baker Mayfield. And it's over. So hold on to that Monday night action.
Last one. We just mentioned Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown or Adam Thielen, Minnesota trying to avoid going 0-3, and they've got Seattle this weekend.
I'm going to go Adam Thielen because he's a better football player than Hollywood Brown. That's a common sense situation, not a matchup situation.
I love that analysis. Sometimes the simplest analysis is the best analysis. Why do you like him better? He's a better football player.
He is.
I love that. Lisa Ann, our fantasy expert. She is brought to you each and every week by Cindy's. Cindy's is number one for fantasy and fun. Lisa, we always appreciate it. Enjoy the games.
I'm so sorry to bring up D-Hop as well. Please accept my apology. Have a great weekend.
You got Seth in a funk for the rest of the show
he's
now,
so
Lisa.
He's so quiet right now. I don't even know if he's there, sad. Okay?
He's there. He's muttering into the microphone.
So sorry.
Good stuff, Lisa. We'll talk to you later. See you, Lisa Ann, joining us on the show. She didn't mean to depress you like that, Seth.
That's all right. I'm good at compartmentalizing, but the problem with compartmentalizing is that it sits in its compartment and it ferments.
Yes.
And then when you bust open the compartment, it's bad.
Perspective on Davis Mills' performance last night in his first start by comparing him to other rookies in his class. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.